Thank you. This morning's reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I have been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I am writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but for power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plan to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way of life and the immortality through the good news.
Lord God, thank you for this reading of your word, just even in the very simple but deep presentation of it, Diane speaking it, you've been speaking. And continue that now by the gift of your Spirit, alive and at work in our midst, our lives, right here, this place, this morning. Amen. Well, you know, they don't exactly look like marbles, I know that. They're close. I'm going to give you 10. Do you want to split them evenly? Five. How old's your daughter? Oh, 10 weeks. All right, you got whatever we're going to call them, 10 marbles. You know, sometimes, I'm sure there's a number of you here this morning that could say this, that raising children, you lose your marbles. But that's not what's going on here, okay? Not at all. You know what's up there? Who can do the math there for me? I've worked it out for you. Give or take a year or so, by the time this young one, where's she gone to? Right back there, okay. Hits 17, she could be off and on her way to some kind of work study, you know, away from home. And we say 17 years, and you think to yourself, whoa, that's a long time, isn't it? It's not. It's times 52 weeks in a year. It's how many weeks do you have? No, 874 now. You've already given away 10 weeks, and you have 874 weeks left. You lose a marble, as it were, every week. We've taken vows and promises here, and many of you have too, and vows and promises were taken for you when you were young and an infant, a child perhaps. 884 weeks to pour into. You know, the scripture tells us here this morning that Diane read about the genuine faith of Timothy, a young man, spiritual son to the Apostle Paul. Paul regarded him as close to him in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as anybody he knew. But he recognized that for Timothy, faith had been poured into him as a child, a teenager. Maybe he had a little more than 884. Maybe in his day it was likely less. By his grandmother Lois and by his mother Eunice. You know, it would be great if we could think that that was the case for each and every child that God graces a family with. But it's not always like that. Back in the last part of the end of the last century, the beginning part of this century, year 2000, a book came out called Soul Searching. And a book done by sociologists, research professors in the United States. And they found this was their conclusion, that most high school students, even if they grew up in a Christian home, were unable to meaningfully articulate their Christian faith. They had all those marvels. They thought, they had lots and lots of years, but they didn't. They just had like 884 weeks. And at the end of it, those teens, from Christian homes, not able to articulate their faith, to embrace the faith that was signed and sealed in their lives by the grace of God in baptism. 5 years later, what happened, a different group of sociologists, these from University of Notre Dame, they came with a book called Souls in Transition. I actually have the book right here, so you know I'm not making any of this up. But they did a study, and they followed up. And they looked at these teens now, you want to call them emerging adults, I guess is the word that we use in our day. And here was their conclusion. That emerging adults are, this was a U.S. study, are the least religious adults in the U.S. today. 884 weeks. And at the end of it, these 18 to 24-year-olds, the least religious of all the adults, religious adults in the U.S. The conclusion that they came to, this is it, when it comes to faith and practice, who and what parents are is more likely to stick with emerging adults. Get this now. It's almost counter to what we've been led to believe. More likely to stick with emerging adults than the belief and habits of their teenage friends. In the 884 weeks, 874 weeks that you now have, the faith that seemed to be alive and real and practiced and embraced by you is going to stick. By the grace of God. You know what this is called, not only for Charlotte, but for you yourselves, is parents having what we call a consequential faith. And simply what that means is you have a faith, all of us have faith as parents, that matters, that really matters, that counts to us 24/7 in the days of our lives. And, I don't have a lot of time this morning to work out what some of this represents and means, but I'm going to put before you, as I would see it from Scripture and from life, my own three children, adult children, with some of their children, my grandchildren, are going to be at the next service, and if I say all this again, they might rise up and say, well, it wasn't like that in our home, and I don't know. I feel a little safer here this morning in this service. But as I understand it from a parent, as I understand it from being a follower of Jesus and God's Word and in Scripture, parents with a consequential faith, a child that has a consequential faith as she grows, as he grows in the years of his life, a faith that matters, is someone who's going to live in a relationship of trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Paramount thing, primary thing. We heard wonderfully about this last week at Knox on our anniversary Sunday with our guest speaker, Fred Stewart, here. But this coming into a very alive and real and experienced faith and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior in one's life. And then as an adult, an emerging adult, a mature adult, a senior adult, you're going to live with an active involvement within a community of faith. You know, the phrase they they sometimes use, and it's not standing for the Church of England, but there are some who have a CE faith, a Christmas Easter faith. And that's when it's practiced and experienced. But this means having a consequential faith, a faith that matters, an active, ongoing involvement, Sunday worship, the other parts of the life of the church that's growing, that's fostering, that's nurturing this relationship of trust with Jesus Christ. And thirdly, living with a deep sense of God's call, the call upon your two lives, the call upon the life of each and every one of us to see this upside down, this capsized world, this world that lives, you know, going the opposite direction in so many ways of the plans and purposes of God, a deep sense of call in your home life, in your vocational life, in your community life, to see this capsized world turn right side up. You see this call on your life. It's not Sunday from 9 to 10. It's 24/7, this great call of God given to you as parents, as followers of Jesus. And in all of it, living with a real direction of hope. There's no sense of futility and meaninglessness. We know we're working towards, serving towards, loving towards that grand and glorious day of the return of Christ when everything will be made new. How do we do that? I end with this, just a simple kind of thing. It's the immersion of our family life, and not only the family such as you have, but the family here that we have at Knox, inclusive of each and every one of us, the immersion of our life together in our homes and families in the stories of people of deep faith. We all need models. We all need those who surround us, who call us forward. And some of those are given to us in the stories we hear of deep faith from years gone by. You know, I'm thinking of two. We're going to come in just a moment to our Remembrance Day observance here. But when I think of two that stand out from the past for me, really from the very recent past, I would think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I would think of Corrie ten Boom, a German Lutheran and a Dutch Christian. And we've got their stories in our library. Where's Susan? Wave your hand. Up in our library. We got a marvelous biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I think we've got the video, The Hiding Place, the story of Corrie ten Boom. But immersing oneself in these stories of deep faith as adults yourselves and then being schooled, taught as you raise your children. But also being immersed in the faith stories of people of deep faith right here in this congregation. As you see them walking, living, loving, serving here in this congregation, drawing near, coming close, being mentored, schooled, helped by God to be shaped and crafted into the image of Christ as you watch and you see in the life of others. And these sometimes will be people who simply talk with you and share with you about their passion for landscaping, maybe, or hockey, or whatever else. But above it all, their passion, their love, you know, it's the sharing openly, the articulating openly of what it means to love, to serve, and to follow Jesus Christ. We didn't exactly immerse Charlotte here this morning. I wanted to do something that was a little bit more than sprinkle, so I tried to pour a little bit. The pouring out of the Spirit. But if you want to take this image of being immersed, it's being immersed in the stories of people who've put their trust and faith in Christ, likely suffered for Christ, but have lived for Christ and live for Christ today. We began the service by singing, and I'll end it now by simply saying, over Charlotte, and over all of us, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Dear Grandpa, I'm not sure how to start this letter, but I'm gonna give it a try. I came by your place the other day to help Grandma clear a few things. She sent me to the basement to put a few books away. As I passed your collections of antiques, model ships, and canisters, I stopped to admire them for a minute. And one old container caught my attention. When I opened it, I couldn't believe what I saw. It was these pictures of you in your uniform, your papers to be sent to war, pictures of you and your platoon, letters home to Grandma. And then, there, at the bottom of this rusty bin, lay a velvet box, and with it, a letter. I opened a small box to reveal a war medal symbolizing bravery. It took my breath away. For acting above and beyond the call of duty, the paper read, and went on to explain your heroic actions on that day. It took me a minute to take it all in. I mean, I couldn't understand. Why had you never told anyone about this? Why was this Medal of Honor hidden in a rusty old container on the bottom shelf of your basement, instead of hanging on a wall in plain sight for all to see? As I sat there, asking myself these questions, I was reminded of the Bible verse from Matthew you so often quoted. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, Grandpa, those words from the Bible were more than just words on a page to you. You truly lived them. You made one of the greatest sacrifices anyone could ever make. I know that rusty old medal didn't mean anything to you anyway, but me finding it the way that I did sure meant a lot to me. I want you to know, Grandpa, that I will not forget what you did on that day. I will not forget the sacrifice you made. I will not forget the lesson that your legacy has taught me. And today, I want to honor you the only way I know how, by simply saying thank you.